CIQC. Another holiday.
Welcome to CIQC AM 600. It's Travel World. My name is Brian Stroll. I'm joined in studio by Stephen Pickford, our regular host of Travel World, and our senior panelist and travel writer, Willem Backus. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Unfortunately, it's an abbreviated version of Travel World this afternoon. We have baseball coming up at 1:45 with Dave Van Horn and Joe Cannon. It's the Expos against the Marlins. Expos trying to right the wrong from last night and catch up. We're currently two games back of the Marlins, and that is at 12:45 with the first pitch at 1:05.
Go Expos.
Go Expos.
Now, Steve, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about Plattsburgh and Clinton County in just a minute or so. We have Bird Burdan, the King of the North Country, joining us on the line, as well as Carolyn Harding from the North Country Chamber of Commerce. Just a quick update on what we talked about last week on Travel World, those people heading down via Vermont wanting to stop off for a overnight at the Black Locust Inn. The Black Locust is located in Waterbury Center on Route 100, run by Len Vignola. The phone number to reach them is 1-800-366-5592. And heading down to all of these areas, it's time to go with a car.
Well, yeah, it's best to drive destination. Sometimes you go down, and I take my own car, but, you know, if you don't have a car, I think a really good idea is to rent a car.
Well, that is the best alternative, Willem. It's practical and economical, too. For example, this summer, Enterprise Rent-A-Car is offering some very special rates. You can get a subcompact for as low as $19.99 a day with 300 free kilometers. And the best thing about Enterprise is they will come and get you, so you don't have to figure out how to get to their location or what to do when you're finished. They will come to your door, and then when you're done with the car, they will come and get it back.
So you just phone at 1-800-RENT-A-CAR, and you say, I want a car, and they bring it right to your door. You don't have to go anywhere for this.
Right, that is.
That's amazing.
You call a very easy toll-free number, 1-800-RENT-A-CAR. Nobody can forget that. 1-800-RENT-A-CAR, and you're all set. They will send someone from their nearest location, and they have 18 locations in Montreal.
So there's always one close to you, and you just dial 1-800-RENT-A-CAR.
And the rates are very economical, just $19.99 a day for a subcompact, and of course they have a whole selection to choose from.
Like 4x4s, minivans, full-size.
That's right, a vehicle to meet every need, no matter how many people you have to transport, like those out-of-town visitors this summer.
So they have just about everything.
That's right. When you pick Enterprise, they'll pick you up just by calling 1-800-RENT-A-CAR today.
So what do you do with Robbie? I mean, I bring my dog down, but sometimes you can't bring the pet.
Well, that is one of those concerns. Vacation time can mean a heart-rending decision what to do with your pet. And that's why we're pleased here on Travel World to introduce our listeners to Auberge VIP. They offer a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy, while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities which sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, they invite you to call them to visit their facility. Experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. It's a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, Auberge VIP, 381-6653.
Well, I'm excited, Stephen. We got Bird Burdan himself on the line.
The King of the North Country.
The King of the North Country. Are you there, Bird?
The King of the North Country? Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Our pleasure.
Now, it's the first day of summer here in Montreal. It's 25 Celsius outside of our studios here in Verdun. It's kind of overcast, muggy day, chance of rain. But first day of summer, people want to head down to Plattsburgh and Clinton County. And if some of your friends were heading down there, Bird, what would you want to really show them and think is really special down there?
Oh, I guess our city beach is the big attraction for many Montrealers and Canadians. And it's open and welcoming people right now. It's a beautiful sandy beach. And the view there is gorgeous out over Lake Champlain. You can see the Green Mountains of Vermont. And we're just raring to go.
It's going to be a good summer down there. What's the weather down like down there today?
Just about like yours. It's a little overcast and very muggy. Just a slight breeze, but no real threats of rain so far. But I guess it's in the forecast. We could get some.
Right. What's the weather or the water temperature in Lake Champlain around this time?
The last I heard it was 62 or 63. It takes a while for that old sunshine to warm it up.
But right, it's a deep lake.
That's right.
A lot of people don't realize that Lake Champlain is actually the sixth largest freshwater lake in the United States. Right, yeah. Bird?
I know. It's a long one, too, from Canada right on down to below Ticonderoga to Whitehall.
Right, it's 121 miles in length and up to 12 miles across. I mean,
it's a beauty.
What kind of fishing is available in the lake? Do you do a lot of fishing?
No, I'm not a fisherman, but
tell us about your fishermen friends.
I had a big fishing derby last weekend, and they catch pike and northern pike and pickerel and lake trout, all sorts of fish, since they've sort of eliminated that terrible eel. I can't think of the name of them now.
Oh, nobody likes eel, Bird.
But they've been working on, those lamprey eels.
Lamprey eels.
There we go.
Clamp onto the fish, you know, and suck everything out of them.
A little more information than we needed, but.
what about the old, isn't there an old Lake Champlain monster? Isn't he still lurking around?
He's still, many years now, we haven't, in this neck of the woods, there haven't been any sightings of him. But down around Crown Point and Port Henry and Bulwaga Bay, way down the southern end of the lake, they still have reports every now and then, but you never know when he's going to pop up.
Go monster watching.
Go monster watching. You make that part of your vacation. You never know what you might actually come and see.
Exactly, huh?
What are your favorite activities to do in the summertime down in the Plattsburgh area?
We love to go swimming in the lake after it warms up, maybe by mid-July or so. The beaches are nice, and the camps all along the lake are nice.
Right, there's around 200 campgrounds in the entire region when you include the entire North Country, the whole Adirondack Park system.
Right, and I mentioned the Plattsburgh City Beach, and right next to it is the state park and a beach too. So it's very convenient.
Right off the interstate, and they've been doing a lot of things over the past year or so, revitalizing the downtown area of Plattsburgh, trying to make better shopping, get people away just from the malls, but to revitalize the downtown core as well.
That's right. Right now, the farmer's market is there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and that draws a lot of people. And they are beautifying that section downtown with trees and little park sections and along the Saranac River as it flows into Lake Champlain. It's a very nice waterfront area that they're trying to promote.
Give us a quick update on what you're doing these days, Bird. We miss you.
Thank you.
You're a cultural icon, Bird. I mean, I used to watch you all these years when I was growing up.
Do you remember that rapping bird thing that Ace Bailey put out years ago?
Absolutely.
Well, we were down in north of Boston area, in Salem, and the bus driver introduced himself. He said he was originally from Plattsburgh, and he introduced Plattsburgh Bird Burdanland. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, that was down on the Salem trolley bus in the north of Boston area.
Howard Stern may be king of all media, but you're the king of the North Country.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to have friends all up in the Canadian area and, of course, all over the North Country down here.
Well, it was certainly a pleasure to have you on Travel World today and just talking with you, and hope we can introduce more Montrealers just to drop down for a short weekend down to Plattsburgh and Clinton County this summer.
And Bird, I'd like to extend an official invitation to come visit us up here. Lots of stuff going on in Montreal, as you know.
Jazz concert sounds wonderful.
Just for laughs, everything.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking to us this afternoon, Bird.
Well, my pleasure. Nice.
Best of luck to
you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
It's 12:15, a quarter after 12 on AM 600 CIQC. Time for a short break. When we come back, we will be talking to Carolyn Harding from the North Country Chamber of Commerce.
North Country Chamber of Commerce, and then later on, Alan Fredericks from Travel Weekly.
Back after this.
Before heading off on your next trip, why don't you do like I do? Head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks and maps, plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Le Sportsac, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's travel accessory center, 66 Laurier West, between Clark and Saint-Urbain. Telephone 271-4000. 5058. It's an amazing fact. Most people spend more time planning their annual vacation than upon planning for their financial future. At no other time in history has advanced planning for retirement been so important. Let Bill Wisnowski and Diversifolio Financial Services put their years of expertise at your service to combat the information overload of investment options, to tailor a portfolio to meet your needs. Today's the official start of summer. It's finally here, and with new life outdoors, isn't it the time to put life into your investment portfolio as well? Diversification is the key to minimizing risk in anyone's portfolio, and if you are unsure of how to achieve the right mix, Dynamic Mutual Funds offers the Dynamic Managed Portfolio. Instead of investing in individual securities to achieve a desired asset allocation, this fund holds other dynamic funds in amounts which give an optimal mix. Designed as a conservative portfolio of funds, it mixes the types of funds according to market conditions. One easy decision for full conservative portfolio diversification. Call my buddy Bill Wisnowski at Diversifolio Financial Services today, 731-5592, for a free financial planning consultation and to learn more about diversifying your portfolio. Diversifolio, investing to outperform.
These days, it pays to be a smart shopper. It pays to look for super value, great buys, and it pays to look at the Salvation Army's discount superstores. Dollars get stretched for clothing for the whole family, a variety of furniture and bric-a-brac. In fact, the Salvation Army will be happy to accept your donations of clothing and household goods. Your chance to help them help others. Call 935-7425 or shop for clothing, furniture, and bric-a-brac at the Salvation Army discount superstore in Pierrefonds at 5005 Sources Boulevard.
The Chomedy News announces the return of Hercules. And when the legendary hero arrives June 27th at Famous Players in Centre-Laval, the first 100 people at the theater receive a free day pass from 10 to 13. More celebrations, a Greek fair at Famous Players Centre-Laval. As well, the Chomedy News invites kids to enter their Hercules coloring contest. Prizes include a year youth subscription, plus a junior tennis camp at 10 to 13, and two $100 bank accounts from the National Bank of Greece. Check the Chomedy News, Laval's only English newspaper.
Prince Arthur sizzles with great atmosphere and a newly renovated style. Experience the pulse of Montreal from its largest outdoor terrace to the park at Carré Saint-Louis. Take in a show from local musicians or just relax and visit with friends. Either way, visit Prince Arthur and look for the Q92 CIQC hotspots. The Impact is back. Don't miss the Montreal Impact's next home game, Wednesday, June 25th, 7:30 p.m. at Claude Robillard Stadium. Worcester's in town. Don't miss the game. Call now to reserve tickets, 328-3668. That's 328-FOOT.
CIQC.
Welcome back to AM 600 CIQC. It's Travel World, an abbreviated version. We have baseball coming up at 12:45 with Joe Cannon, Dave Van Horn, Expos against the Florida Marlins. In the meantime, we are talking to Carolyn Harding from the North Country Chamber of Commerce. Good afternoon, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good afternoon. Glad you could join us. Glad Bird could call in and join us as well. Plattsburgh certainly is a weekend destination for generations of Montrealers.
That's true.
And you've got something special going on this weekend, I see.
We certainly do. It's very exciting. Christopher Columbus has discovered Plattsburgh. The Nina, I guess is how you would really pronounce it in Spanish, but the ship, a complete historic reproduction of Columbus's flagship, is in our harbor, even as we speak. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, authentically produced with hand tools in Brazil.
Wow.
And it's been sailing. It's a sailing museum. And it has been sailing from Mexico 4,000 miles on its round trip. It's going to be here until Monday night, and there are self-guided tours on board the ship. It's absolutely spectacular when you think you can get the true feeling of what it must have been like to go on that little boat in 1492.
Right, it gives you
sail across the ocean.
Gives you everything in perspective.
That's right.
How does this summer seem to be shaping up? I know in the past you've had a reduction in some visitors with regards to the Canadian dollar, but what have people in the North Country been doing to sort of alleviate what Montrealers may think
well,
is
you know,
the US dollar?
A lot of folks have realized the advantage of our cross-border sharing of so many things, including history, And one of the things, I know Bird mentioned our city beach, which is a beautiful beach. And there are brochures in my office right now at the Chamber of Commerce that are offering Canadian at par on the city beach plus one free pass.
Oh, that's amazing. And how is the North Country shaping up now? I heard there was a recent deal to do something with the Plattsburgh Air Force Base.
Oh, yes. I really believe that we are on the verge of one of the most phenomenal growth in this area because of the air base, because it's been freed up to be used for private sector businesses. I think you're going to see some really exciting things. And anybody that's ever been able to be on the base, but even when it was an Air Force base, you know, the civilians weren't allowed on for the most part. But the old base has 26 national historic monuments on that base, the buildings, the 1812 stone barracks. It is a phenomenal place. And now that it's going to be opened up for use the 4th of July, there will be a huge celebration on the base with fireworks, spectacular fireworks, and all kinds of events going on all day with entertainment. There's a parade at noon right out onto the base.
That sounds terrific. Tell me, did you just wrap up your Clinton County Fair?
No, the Clinton County Fair doesn't begin until July.
Okay, let's hear about it. I thought it actually took place, it just took place in June. Little typo there. Tell us all about it.
Well, the Clinton County Fair, of course, is a long-standing fair. We have a fairgrounds right outside of town, all kinds of things, including races on the Oval and the usual rides and sideshows and so forth. We also have the Mayor's Cup coming up this summer. Again, it's about 26 years old. That's a beautiful, spectacular race of sailboats on the lake. We also have, coming up September 6th, an antique boat show on at the new marina here. At Plattsburgh City's marina has been completely renovated. There's a new restaurant on the water, and it's a beautiful spot, and there will be a lot of activity down there.
A lot of activity this summer. Well, as you may have heard, there's sort of an abbreviated version. We wish we had more time to talk to you today on Travel World, but we're kind of cut short. But I guess people can give the chamber a call, get more information, and your number would be?
Yes, 518-563-1000, and we are more than happy to welcome all of our Canadian friends.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, and hope you have a great summer down in Plattsburgh and Clinton County.
It's looking good.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Bye now.
Bye.
Coming up on Travel World, we have Alan Fredericks from Travel Weekly magazine coming up. And this man has traveled extensively, outperforming the records of myself and Stephen, reminding me of some of the trips that we've even taken down to places like Jacksonville, Florida.
Right, we were down in Jacksonville 10 years ago on the first ever media tour they ever held. But we were there again in 1990, and there was this fellow from the Toronto Sun, and he took that word sun very literally. He stayed out by the swimming pool, fell asleep, and when he woke up, I haven't seen any lobsters in the Maritimes that were any redder. I mean, this man, when you patted him on the back to give him congratulations,
he felt it,
you know?
Well, we got to give a little background. Karen Ganley was actually, he was very well liked on the tour and stuff like that, and a bit of the ladies' man out, vicking Vic Phillips himself.
Hold on a sec. Karen?
Karen Ganley.
Karen.
Now, let's spell that.
C-A-I. R-A-N.
R-A-N. I've never heard of that name before.
It's a very Irish name.
He was a lot of fun. Everybody liked him and everything like that. But the man went swimming. We had a break in the afternoon. And, nobody had the heart to kind of wake him up when we went out to dinner. When we came back from dinner, of course, he was still there, basking in the sun.
And that can kind of lead into a travel tip for the week. Remember to put on that sunscreen before you go out, and don't fall asleep in the sun.
And an alarm clock.
The alarm clock. The UV rays can...
ruin
your vacation.
Yes.
It's not something that we recommend, falling asleep in the sun.
Absolutely not. It's 12:25 here on AM 600 CIQC, 25 minutes after 12. No sunscreen for today, I don't think. It's currently 25 degrees outside in downtown Montreal, and it's raining. And the rain will continue this afternoon and this evening. We are expecting a high near 28. Tonight we can look for a low near 17, and an outlook on tomorrow is much of the same. There's a 40% probability of showers or thunder showers in the afternoon with a high near 26. Winds will be out of the southwest at 15 to 30 kilometers per hour. And quick look at Monday shows sunny, low near 14, high near 26. 26 minutes after 12 noon on AM 600 CIQC. A quick note before we go to break, the Expos versus the Marlins, we will be cutting out to the stadium at 12:55, not at 12:45, as I originally said. We can thank our super producer Chad for correcting me on that.
So we have an extra 10 minutes.
Yes, we do. We better come up with some more fan, how do you call that, fam stories?
Fam trip stories, fam trip lore.
Explain that to me. What is fam?
A fam trip is a media familiarization tour, an area when they want to promote, which actually spawned this particular show as well as other shows on television that we know about, will invite media correspondents down to actually take a look at the area and relate what they know about it and help promote tourism. In fact, we've done it in Montreal, we've done it all over North America and other places, including Europe. But of course, when you get a group of people together as colorful as media commentators, we tend to have some funny stories.
Yeah, they have all the stories that people merge together and have a lot of different events occur, and then we recount them.
I see. Now, we're going to be speaking to Alan Fredericks, who is the editor-in-chief of North America's largest travel trade paper, Travel Weekly, when we come back from the break. Back after this.
Tasso Patsikakis here at Dormez-vous this weekend, Centennial Plaza, Sources Boulevard, and DDO, the greatest sale ever. This is one you do not want to miss, because not only have the prices been slashed, we are picking up the tab on the tax for you, and we are giving you the brand names. Incredible deals on Sealy Posturepedic and Simmons Beautyrest mattress sets. Absolutely everything. Mattresses, brass beds, day beds, wrought iron, bunk beds, captain beds, wood beds, futons, and much, much more, all here this weekend at Dormez-vous, Centennial Plaza, Sources Boulevard, and DDO.
A great summer spot on Monklin Avenue. Restaurant Digestivo is an intimate family-style restaurant offering the finest home-style Italian cuisine like Mama used to make. The ambiance is magical. Live music fills the air on Friday and Saturday nights, and dining is always a treat on their wonderful outdoor terrace. Choose from an elaborate menu, which now includes lobster, superb wine list, and specialty drinks too. Experience the nostalgia and flavor of Old World Italy at Restaurant Digestivo, 5626 Monklin, 484-9402.
Suffering from a slow modem? See PC Service Center about a brand name 33.6 internal modem for an incredible $99.99 after mail-in rebate. It includes 100 hours of free internet and it's video conferencing ready. PC Service Center, 1598 Bolac, west of Place Vertu.
It's Montreal's oldest bike shop since 1915. See les bicycles Kiniko and find a super selection of bicycles, bicycle parts, and accessories. Prepare or repair your old bike or buy a new one. Les bicycles Kiniko, 1749 Saint-Denis and 472 Roland Terrien in Longueuil.
Now, the Bat 50.
Met the three young students on a non-stop flight. She showed me to my seat and it was love at first sight. Now lately I've been flying to all kinds of places that I never really wanted to go. Cause I'll do anything just to spend a little time with the cutest flight attendant I know. Whoa, you set my ever-loving heart on fire.
Welcome back to AM600 CITC. It's Travel World. My name is Brian Stroll. I'm joined in studio by our regular host, Stephen Pickford, and our senior panelist and travel writer, Willem Backus. Good afternoon, guys.
Yes,
glad you're still with me.
We're still here.
Now, you forced me to let that music play on. I'm not familiar with it. Tell us what it is.
That's Weird Al Yankovic, a song about somebody who likes to fly the airlines to meet stewardesses, not unlike... Stephen and I.
Yes, we've done that a few times. Too bad the old Eastern Airlines has passed away, because Eastern Airlines was the airline to fly if you wanted to meet a stewardess who would give you her home phone number and address.
Well, I made some joke about a speed bump on the runway, and she giggled so much Stephen got her phone number. So we ended up flying down to Dallas just to meet her. First of all, we thought it was Fulla.
Yeah, the way she pronounced it sounded like Fulla, Texas, so Fort Worth.
Then we ended up meeting her in a little bar called the Hi-Hat.
The Hi-Hat.
Where little Billy Bob came up to me in his long john, said, hey, boy, I like you. And I said, Steve, it's 7 o'clock. Let's go.
Yeah, when somebody comes up to you in a bar in Texas and appears interested in you.
You move fast.
Don't mess with our shuffleboard game.
All right. 24 degrees in downtown Montreal. It's 12:31 here on AM 600 CIQC. And we're now joined on the line by Alan Fredericks, who happens to be editor... Not yet.
Not yet.
We will be joined on the line.
I think he got disconnected a little bit.
He happens to be the editor-in-chief of North America's largest travel paper, Travel Weekly.
And that's based in Secaucus, New Jersey. It's considered the national newspaper of the travel industry. Alan being there for 30 years. Before that, he was one of New York's best-known radio DJs in the 50s, early 60s, and a man who has traveled more and more than any of us all combined will ever do. So we're pleased to.
I believe.
I think we got him back.
I believe we have Alan Fredericks on the line. Good afternoon, Mr. Fredericks. Mr. Fredericks?
Is he there?
We do not have Mr. Fredericks on the
maybe
line.
Maybe heard before.
What was happening?
Okay, I thought he heard birds.
He was afraid to come on after bird.
Yeah, after bird. He figured couldn't.
He was in the car heading up to the North Country.
He was heading up to the beach
on
the lake.
Nina. Maybe he's sailing the Santa Maria to meet up with the Nina.
Just a quick reminder, we're going to go to baseball at 12:55. It's a slightly abbreviated version of Travel World this Saturday afternoon. Baseball with Joe Cannon and Dave Van Horn. It's the Expos against the Marlins. The first pitch is at 1:15. Pregame show starts at 12:55. Now, let's take a third check to see if we have Mr. Fredericks online. Good afternoon, Mr. Fredericks.
Good afternoon. How are you?
There you are. Very well.
Finally got you on the line. There was a bit of a technical difficulty there. Stephen Pickford here, along with Willem Backus and Brian Stroll.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Now, you've been in the business, in the travel journalism business, for around 30 years. But most of the changes have been happening within the past 5 years have been the most dramatic in many respects.
Well, certainly here in the United States, Stephen, 1995 was a kind of watershed year, I suppose, for travel agencies, because the principal supplier sector for them, the airline industry, decided to put a cap on the commissions they could earn on domestic airline tickets, as you know, and it caused quite a stir and quite a loss of income for agencies.
Right, and of course, whatever happens in the United States quickly follows suit in Canada. It happened shortly thereafter with regards to domestic transportation in Canada. So far, nothing has happened with regards to trans-border travel or international travel, but, I mean, we can see that the writing is on the wall. The airlines are trying to cut their costs in every way they can.
Yes, and the action by the airlines in 1995, about 2.5 years ago now, not only affected the airline industry, but it was carefully watched, I think, by other supplier sectors that deal through the retail trade, the other industries such as hotels and tours and cruises and so on. And at the same time, we've had the advent of the Internet, the growth of the Internet, and the belief on the part of at least some people that distribution of travel will change as more people do self-service booking electronically. I'm from the old school that believes that isn't going to happen to any great extent, but clearly it's going to happen to some extent.
Right. Some people will think that that's the best way of doing it, but I don't think really, at least to date, people haven't jumped on the bandwagon. They're using it more for information purposes.
And you do prefer at least to have a person there to help with your travel arrangements. I know if I try to do it myself, it's nowhere near as good as when I get a guy like Stephen to do the travel for me. I mean, the god of travel agents right here.
Stephen Pickford.
Well, yes, I think that's a very good point. There are a couple of issues there. One is that you have somebody to blame if things go wrong besides yourself. I mean, and that may sound facetious, but in fact, a third party is important in that respect. But more importantly, I think the issue has to do with pricing. I think that people can get a tremendous amount of information on the Internet or through America Online or CompuServe or other channels, but there isn't a high degree of confidence yet among the consumer, at least in the United States, that you're going to get the best price, because the pricing of airline tickets and hotel rooms and rental cars is so complicated that the use of an expert, a third party, to sort out the pricing options is still considered very important.
Right. Somebody has to sort through all of that information overload. And, I mean, if you check one website, for example, if you pull up the website for Air Canada, you're only going to get the Air Canada information, and you've got to go to a number of different sources to try to put it all together for you. I tried, for example, a couple of weeks ago to check out information on Continental's website because I knew the answer already, and it was so complicated to check all from Montreal to Newark and what the fares were, and it couldn't quote the fare in Canadian dollars when you were leaving from Canada, and it would have been so much simpler just to call an agency and get that information.
Nonetheless, Stephen, I think it's important that the travel agents recognize how much information is out there available to the public now for the first time as a result of the Internet, which is really the mother of all libraries. And the likelihood is that a higher proportion of customers are going to become more knowledgeable about the options that are out there, particularly with regard to destination information, for example. And the agents are going to have to work the Internet to stay ahead of their customers.
Right. The agencies have to be online as well in order to access that information so that they are aware of what is out there, but and also so that they can find that information for their customers who want it. They don't want, you know, the customer to find out and be no more than they do, and then of course then it becomes a lose situation. The customer figures might as well do it all himself, because why does he need somebody who bills himself as a consultant?
That's right. I mean, if you walk into any store, forget travel for the moment, and you want to buy something and you have a just a little bit of information, but you discover that the salesperson you're dealing with doesn't have as much information as you do, the odds are you're not going to do business with that person.
Right. I mean, that's of course. And of course, a lot of the information that agencies have available to them is not on the internet. I'm looking with regards to Canadian information, the rise in net fares and consolidator fares.
Yes.
This information, the way you can circumvent, for example, we're talking quite often on Travel World each week about certain USA on business fares that you don't have to stay a Saturday night, but these are unpublished fares available through negotiated rates. They're not going to show them on the internet, but if you check, you might see Montreal, Los Angeles go tomorrow, $1,500, but not know that there is a three-day advance fare out there of $395. You know, so you really still need the agent to be able to sort through those options for you.
I think at the end of the day, it's that that knowledge about the different prices that will keep the intermediaries in the loop. Particularly, I think you'll find in the leisure market, where the average person is not likely to want to spend the kind of time it's going to take to sort through all those options.
Right.
Well, that's true. Tell me, Alan, as far as the airlines themselves are concerned, I do know that towards the early 90s, the end of the 80s, there was really a lull in the industry, and a lot of people were losing a lot of money. And I noticed there's a bit of a turnaround. What can you say about that?
Well, there's no question about it. The airline industry has enjoyed the greatest profits in the last year or so in its history. There have been a number of reasons. First of all, they've gotten control of their costs to a much greater extent than ever before. They have gotten their organized labor entities to work more closely with them, because in the past, of course, they were highly organized and were subject to collective bargaining issues that made it difficult for them at times. I think the unions have recognized that they've got to work more collaboratively with the airline industry. At the same time, the economy has clearly gotten a great deal better. I mean, you guys know about the stock market. You could just about throw a dart at it in the past year or two and presumably make some money. So with people enjoying renewed confidence in the economy, with employment at an improved level, and with confidence rising, there's been an improvement in travel, and the prices have gone up. Average fares are significantly higher than they've been. You guys mentioned the Saturday night stay a little bit earlier. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed what extraordinary differences there can be, for example, for the business traveler who chooses to leave a day earlier for a Monday meeting and stay over a Saturday as well as a Sunday night. In the United States, the difference in fare doing that can be well over $1,000 on a single trip.
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially in light of this renewed confidence by the airlines, have you also noticed maybe confidence can sometimes work its way into arrogance, as we sometimes know? But I know that in the early 90s that airlines like US Air and so on have offered some tremendous seat sales, you know, $200 round trip to San Francisco out of Burlington. And do you see that still happening, or are they going to kind of sit tight and say, all right, now that we're making money, you guys pay?
Well, I think you have to break that down by what the airlines call city pairs. I mean, you can't generalize about it. It really depends on market share and competition. If an airline has relatively little competition and a very high market share out of a given market, the odds are very good that the prices are going to be a lot higher. And in fact, the Department of Transportation in the United States just released a study within the past week that showed pretty much as anticipated that while fares hadn't risen quite as much as some people had thought, if you looked at certain markets where a single carrier enjoyed a huge proportion of the market share and the lift, then the fares generally out of that market were going to be higher. So when you see a special, it usually means either that an airline has just gotten on a route and they're introducing it for the first time to their marketplace, and so they want to get everybody's attention with a bargain basement fare, or it means that they're facing keen competition from somebody who has done that, and they need to meet that competition.
In a similar vein, have you noticed any airlines that maybe that were perhaps teetering on the brink or not doing so well in the early 90s that now are doing well but are rewarding their customers or saying, you know, thank you for staying with us?
Well, I think a very good example of that is Continental. I mean, Continental Airlines has filed bankruptcy, if I haven't lost count, at least twice in the past couple of decades. But in the last few years, they've enjoyed an enormous turnaround, not just in their financial fortunes, but in the quality of their service and the perception that the public has. I mean, if you asked people 5 years ago what they thought about Continental Airlines, you would have gotten far more negative response than you would get today. The airline has worked very, very hard to turn itself around, and it's enjoying a period of prosperity and a much improved reputation.
Let me ask you, Mr. Fredericks, speaking of turnarounds, what about ValueJet? What has happened to them since the disastrous crash last year?
Well, that's a very difficult situation. As you know, they were grounded for an extended period of time, and they've been allowed to fly. It's very difficult for an airline to come back. Whatever the circumstances may be, whether they are acts of God or acts of man that cause a travel company to suffer the kind of loss of confidence that happened in that instance, the old saw is that the consumer confidence goes away very quickly and comes back very, very slowly. So anybody who comes back from a tragedy like that, a situation like that, has got to be prepared for the long haul. I mean, people don't come rushing back with confidence to a company like that. But they are saying that they intend to stick it out, and only time will tell. I mean, you have to reestablish customer confidence over time. There's no shortcut to it.
Right. Let me ask you, in your experience, which would you consider to be the most efficient airport in the United States? The most pleasant one to go through?
Well, that's it. You know, you're talking to a road warrior, Stephen, so... airports are not my favorite places. I guess I measure them in shoe leather. you know, the amount of time you have to walk from point A to point B, and I suppose it's a. I have my least favorite.
Okay.
Airports are easier for me to tell you than my most favorite ones. I fly a great deal because I live and work in the state of New Jersey. I fly a great deal out of Newark International, and I'm afraid I'm going to be a little bit parochial and tell you that, at least in the time that I've been using it since we've lived and worked in New Jersey for the past 10 years or so, there's been a dramatic expansion in that airport, and yet at the same time, they've kept pace in terms of the infrastructure with a monorail system that allows you to connect between the terminals, and they've done a pretty good job of development at Newark, so that as they've gotten a great deal bigger, it hasn't gotten a great deal more difficult. Typically what happens is that as an airport gets substantially bigger and as operations increase geometrically, it becomes that much more problematic for the traveler to navigate the airport. But I think Newark's done a particularly good job. I guess if I had to, I can't criticize them because of their size, but some of the airports that are really difficult to deal with in the United States are the ones that have had the greatest growth. I mean, you just have to be prepared for longer runs around the track in places like Atlanta and Chicago and so on.
Well, let's name names. Come on, Alan.
Let me ask you.
I just named two, as a matter of fact.
Right. Let me ask you.
They're not my favorite places to connect. I've reached that wonderful age where my heart sinks when they tell me my connecting flight is on a different concourse.
and you have 5 minutes to reach there.
And I must admit, I hate to do this publicly on Canadian radio, but I must admit that I've even started jumping on some of those golf carts from time to time. So.
Why not? Why not? We're all entitled. What about the new Denver airport? What do you have? What
I haven't had the opportunity to see the brand new airport out there, but my colleagues who've been through Denver, I just haven't had occasion to be there, mm-hmm. are complimentary about it. In fact, one of them just came back from a trip that took him through Denver in the past week and liked the experience very much. I've heard a couple of very good things about it. You know, they got off to a terrible start.
Right.
With that now classic problem they had with the baggage carousels.
Right.
And it became a kind of a standing joke for a while about the Denver airport. But once they got that resolved and they got rolling, I've heard some pretty good things about the experience of traveling through there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's supposed to be a nice airport, and one day I'll get through there too.
Of course, one of the anomalies of American airport expansion is when you put a second airport in a town like that, and there was a great deal of debate and controversy over whether that community needed a second airport. All the hotels at the time they put the second airport up, of course, were near the first airport.
And of course, we know in Montreal very well what operating two airports at the same time can do with Mirabel and Dorval, and then now all the scheduled flights moving back to Dorval in mid-September. So.
Yeah, and you have, you know, as you travel internationally now, you have a number of areas where, you know, over the years, the second airport has arisen and created some confusion and difficulty in connection in places like Tokyo comes to mind, you know, where for so many years you went through one airport. Obviously, they needed to build a much bigger one, but they built it a long way from the first one. So if you have occasion to travel requiring a connection from one to the other, it can be a problem. Similarly with Charles de Gaulle and Orly
Dorval,
in Paris.
Mirabel.
Yeah, we were just mentioning
that. Yeah.
Pardon me?
We were just talking about Dorval and Mirabel, but Willem took a step out of the studio. He missed that.
He missed that.
We've covered
comment.
That. Been there, done that, Willem.
You have to keep listening to AM600.
And the same thing is going on now in Hong Kong. I'm just glad that they're going to build a second airport in Hong Kong, because it's you guys mentioned my least favorite airport. It's
right.
Not because of the terminal. It's because of the location of Kai Tak, that flying in and out of Hong Kong is my least favorite thing to do, because it's like landing in the middle of Times Square. You can see what the folks are having for dinner as you land, you know.
Right.
And it's just a little too cozy for me to have residential communities that close to landing strips.
That close to an airport. Well, we're about coming up to the hour here, and Expos Baseball here on AM 600. I'd like to thank you, Alan Fredericks from Travel Weekly, joining us today on Travel World. Look forward to speaking with you again on a future edition of our program.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen, and thank you for inviting me to talk to the folks in Canada. It's my pleasure. Montreal is one of my favorite cities.
Great to hear. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Alan Fredericks, who is editor-in-chief of North America's largest travel trade paper, Travel Weekly. Now, it is 23 degrees outside in downtown Montreal, and a quick look outside shows me that it's coming down much heavier than before. It's still humid. We can expect a high near somewhere of...
Thank you.
Sorry about that. That's our modern technology.
Modern technology.
XWA.
XWA stays on.
Well, you know, computers, you can never trust them. You never know what they're going to do next. We are up to date, but you cannot...
When you depend too much on computers...
unforeseen computer glitches.
Yes, everything gets blamed on the computer these days. It's a way to for everyone
well,
to...
Well, usually the problem's between the chair and the keyboard, though.
Let's get back to the weather. I was mentioning we're going up to a high of 28 and to a low of 17. It's currently 23 and raining in downtown Montreal. Time for a short break. On the other side, we'll have another fam
trip
story back after this.
No more breaks.
Well,
we're back.
We're back. I mean, that
we're
was
back.
The shortest break in
this
the whole history.
Short break.
Shortest break in the history of Canadian broadcasting.
I would like to blame that on another computer glitch. But unfortunately, I think you guys can blame that on me. I was expecting two more commercials. It's all due to our abbreviated version.
We were first going to end at 12:45, and then it's 12.
Well, people were enjoying themselves, so we gave us an extra 10 minutes.
Right,
we're going
absolutely.
To baseball.
People were calling in and saying, we want to listen to Travel World for longer.
What do you think we should do? Should we get Bird back?
Yeah, we can.
King of the North Country.
King of the North Country.
King of the
you
North
know,
Country. Why don't you read commercials? They want commercials.
They want commercials. They want commercials.
Let's settle down, guys.
Yeah, we can. we can read commercials.
Let's settle down. We're going to baseball at 12:55. The Expos versus the Florida Marlins with Dave Van Horn and Joe Cannon. The first pitch is at 1:15 this afternoon at the old Big O. Thank God for the roof, guys.
Yeah,
right?
They good. They have the roof on.
I hope it doesn't tear or fall down or otherwise.
let's accentuate the positive.
The positive, which one of those positive cities is Jacksonville in northeast Florida. And as we were talking about Karen Ganley earlier lying out in the sun, there's another story from Jacksonville, this one from the 1987 trip. Bill Luxton, who was one of Peter Jennings' best friends and one of biggest media consultants now in the country. And he was down there. He was doing a show on CJOH Ottawa at the time. And he was trying to get a story for his program as to why they color-coded the bridges. And they're all coded, one blue, one brown, basically for hurricane evacuation routes.
That's what we thought, apparently. It's just because that's the way it is.
Yeah, just that it was, you know, they'd heard Bird Burdan's commercial at Obershon Hardware, and it was on special that that week. They bought some paint. But he asked the Convention Bureau Director, a true Southerner in more ways than one, Ken Carden, he asked him, why do you call, in his very deep broadcasting voice, and tell me, Ken, why do they call it the Blue Bridge?
And he replied, well, Best Bills, because they painted it blue.
Throughout media circles in Canada, and people went down there 3 years later, and the mayor of Jacksonville said, well, it's near the Blue Bridge. Does anyone know where the Blue Bridge is? And everyone on the bus yelled, yes, the Blue Bridge, the Blue Bridge. We know where the Blue Bridge is. They'd all heard about it from Bill Luxton and his story, so we all knew where the Blue Bridge is.
Just similarly to Pembroke, and Cindy Edwards told us about the Blue Motel of Pembroke. We're not sure what the name is.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we had a correspondent around a month ago, Cindy Edwards, and she'd left all her notes. She'd left all her notes in Ottawa. She commutes from Ottawa to Pembroke, to the Baton station there, and she was doing her report right here on AM 600 on her hometown or where she was working in Pembroke in the Ottawa Valley. She left all her notes at home and didn't remember the name of the motel
I have to catch up here. She was going to be talking about her hometown region.
Well, yes. Where she is based. I mean, broadcasters tend not to have a hometown. You know, they go from Agoura Hills, California to Plattsburgh via Grand Junction, you know.
Right.
But she was supposed to be reporting on this area that she is now working on. And she left her notes at home, went on the air, and couldn't remember the
name. About the old hard disk up in the cranial area?
Teleprompter, one word.
She's an anchor woman. She didn't have her teleprompter out there with the answer, I mean.
No, but that's a good point. You know, often, you know, about our hometown, we might not know as much as someone not coming from it. Example Montreal, example Plattsburgh. I'm sure there were quite a few details that we came up with this hour that people in this area, being so close to Plattsburgh, just weren't familiar with.
Right.
Well, that's
often the case.
That's often the case. You know another city, people will go Montreal to New York. They'll know all about New York. They won't know about Montreal.
Absolutely.
Well, it's just like us, we're going to be driving down to New York City the following weekend.
And right after here, I head off to Toronto. And looking at the rain, it ought to be a nice, fun flight on the Dash 8.
We ordered the rain for you.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can feel my stomach moving right now, thinking of going through those
clouds. Instead of whale watching,
take a Dash 8 to Toronto, and
I'd like,
and feel your lunch come up.
I'd like to thank our regular host, Stephen Pickford. Try to calm down.
Yeah, I'm going to try to calm down.
Lunch is coming up in a couple of minutes.
In more ways than one.
And Willem Backus, our senior panelist and travel writer. It's been an interesting hour on Travel World, abbreviated because we are going straight to Expos Baseball versus the Florida Marlins with Dave Van Horn and Joe Cannon. The first pitch is at 1:15. The pregame show.